Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jonathan in the house. You know, Harvey, big follower, homeboy back up there in Pennsylvania. For those of you listening on the radio, I'm talking to the Facebook Live crew. People that have been with me from day one. So I'm always going to lift them up, you know. And keep them motivated, you know, because they keep me motivated. This show's kind of unique. For those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, when here, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to clap. You're going to cheer. You're going to cry. You're going to hide. You know, that's how we do it here. This is not a black show, white show, blue show, Republican, Democrat, Christian, atheist, Muslim. It's a real show on here. When we get to the topic, we discuss what's hurting, you know, how we can help it, how we can fix it. That means you got to have some rough dialogue. You know, we're going to have some conversations that make a lot of people feel uncomfortable. You'll notice we don't have any sponsors on this show. And I like it that way because that way this show stays organic, it stays real, and it stays on point. On this show, it's very unique because you can be a crack addict in the back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. When you call up here, you are somebody. Titles mean nothing here. Police officer, politician, police chief, pontificator, you know, six-figure bank account, all that, it don't mean anything in here because no matter what you may think, no matter what your opinion is, you can be, I'm a tenured professor at Harvard or Yale, but guess what? You're good until somebody calls up from a back alley and says, I don't have all those credentials, but I'm living through what you're talking about. Their experience trumps your facts. So that's how we do it here. In America, there's not a voice. Colorado, all right, Deb, appreciate you. In America, there is no place where the people who are living through the conditions we're talking about have a voice. Well, here you have one. Nobody is safe here. You know, police, politicians, black folks, white folks, on here, this is real. This is not your grandfather's radio show. We're going to keep it real. You know, you will hear colorful metaphors or expletives, better known as curse words. You know, I ask that we keep the N word, the B word, the C word. Let's keep them out of the conversation. You know, I understand people are going to release passion. Some folks don't like it. Well, if you don't like it, you know, you can go pray about it tomorrow. But on here, somebody may call up and express an opinion that stops them from grabbing a gun and going out and being the next big story tomorrow. You know, so that's how we do it here. This is therapeutic. Somebody may call up and they may hate black people, but we need to honor and listen to their experience. And then we cross through that visceral hatred and we get to what's going to solve it. And black people towards white people, or cops towards citizens, citizens towards cops. On here, this is safe. This is the open place. Nobody's going to yell at you or shoot you down for your belief, you know. And I just ask that we all keep an open mind and we all listen to each other. On this show, you can call in, 646-716-4621. You press 1, we will put you on. You are not limited to a 30-second soundbite. Thank you for calling. Have a nice day. Goodbye. We'll leave you on. You're going to be on unless you hang up. The only thing that I ask is if when other people are talking, you're not talking, let's be respectful of other people talking so we don't interrupt. And if you know you have a lot of background noise, maybe your kids are running around or you're driving or whatever, hit your mute button on your phone so I don't have to do that. So that way you know when you want to come back in. So that way nobody can say, well, I couldn't get back in. It's very important. When you call 646-716-4621, I'll see your number. I don't see names. I don't have caller ID on this program. I just see numbers. I'll identify you by your area code, the last 4 of your number, and that means that your mic is open and you'll hear it. You know, when I open up your mic, you'll hear when I do that. You know, be mindful of your background noise. And, you know, when you're done talking, if you know, well, I'm going to listen for a while on my phone, just hit your mute button. And then the way I do it at the end of the show, we go back through and everybody who's called and spent the time and participated, you know, you get to come on and say about an issue. I'll give you a minute to talk about something that's important to you. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what the show topic is. We also got the Facebook Live crew. You can get to me over at Stan Mason on Facebook. You know, I don't go do criminal history checks on people. I don't go. The only thing I ask is that you don't have a bunch of ratchet mess on your Facebook page and a bunch of craziness. But outside of that, you know, I don't care about your history. If you're on here, I put you on. You send me a friend request, I'm going to take it. But have a picture and have something. don't have everything posted up yesterday, because I do have haters and I do have trolls. I understand that. And I do look for them. And when I find them, I will delete you unapologetically. And if you come back again under a different name and I know who you are, I will put your name out there. So it's nice. I don't have to. If you guys noticed in the show promo, I didn't have to put my disclaimer up there. It's been on so many shows. And I haven't gotten around to getting it off my Facebook yet, but that'll come shortly. So it's a relief, you know, just to be able to say how I feel about things and not have to worry about a whole host of people who do not patrol and sit back and look at what I say. So anyway, we're going to get into today's topic of what I wanted to talk about, and that is federal police. Now, we do have some officers. We do have some degree of federal policing today, U.S. Marshals and the like. But this is the thing with federal policing, and this is why I picked this topic to talk about. A lot of people are asleep right now. They like to say they're woke. I'm woke, man. I'm woke. No, you're sleeping. We're woke on an aspect of the problem as it affects us demographically, economically, racially, but on the whole picture, we're sleeping. Case in point, Dallas, Texas. 1,000 police officers short. Dallas, Texas will not recover 1,000 officers in my lifetime or the lifetime of most of you listening today. They will not do it with the city that is growing for various reasons. Part of it is because of their retirement system. Part of it is because their equipment, which sucks. I've been up there and I've ridden with Nick, so I know it sucks. And if you guys don't follow Nick Novello, you need to follow him. He's on my Facebook. This brother speaks up. So when you have manning crisis, you can't recruit. You got a two-hour wait for a murder response, a response to a murder. Let alone an accident, let alone, I mean, you guys can Google this stuff, Dallas Police Department response time. This is not to trash the officers. Dallas has been mismanaged from the top down. That's what happens when you put money before people. So they're having a manning crisis. Houston has a manning crisis. L.A. has a manning crisis. NYPD. So you start lowering the standards. Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to throw this out here. And I want you guys on the Facebook, y'all start the cord up. And put it out there. And also, if you want to call in, 646-716-4621, press 1. And we're going to talk about this. And this is not a conspiracy theory. For those of you that think it is, keep living. And you're going to see this come to fruition. Let's say that you have a situation like Dallas, which I think personally is prime candidate number one in the United States to be federalized. You've got men and women up there that are suffering under a retirement system that, quite frankly, sucks. You've got crime that's out of control, that's unaddressed, not because the officers don't care, but because you can't get to everything in one shift. You've got citizens that are paying good money for good service, and they're getting the best the officers can give, but because of politics and a bunch of crap, they're unable to get there in a timely fashion. You can't hire people. There's no way in the world I go to that police department when I can go next door to Fort Worth, or I can go to Plano, or I can go to Arlington and make a lot of money. And for those of you that are caught up with the Dallas Cowboy phenomenon, and this and that, Dallas doesn't have a whole lot of money. They got credit. The money is out in Arlington. You talk to people that are from down here. Hopefully Robert Drakes will call in, and Robert will tell you he lives up there. It's not what everybody thinks. But anyway, let's say this. I'm going to throw this out. Let's say the federal government steps in, and we'll use Dallas as my example. And the federal government comes in, and they say, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come in and take over all policing for Dallas. We're going to, your taxes will drop. You guys don't have to fund city taxes and all this to pay for the police department anymore. We're going to, all the officers, we'll hire them on to us, and then we'll fill in the spots. They're all going to come under a federal retirement system now. We're going to bring in all new state-of-the-art cars on federal dollars. You taxpayers in Dallas, you don't have to worry about it. We're going to pay for uniforms. We're going to get them a higher degree of training. You're going to get a better product. We're going to put a federal stamp on it, and this is going to work. And you know what? They're going to sell it to you, and you're going to buy it. Just like after 9/11, when they sold the big all Muslims are bad fear, and we all bought into it to a degree. I mean, we just went through a horrific event. But they came in with Homeland Security and all this. What you did is gave up a lot of your constitutional rights for a perceived fear. They made it seem like there was a Muslim behind every corner, just like they'll do with this. There's a criminal behind every corner. It's a matter of time before you're victimized. Folks get afraid. They want to feel safe. So they say, yes, sir, do whatever you got to do to protect me. So we sign on that dotted line. So they institute this form of federalized policing. Place, and it is in some cities right now as we speak. So Dallas, here you go. You got it. Oh, it's great. There's an officer on every corner. Crime has dropped down low, and that's what we want. Crime has gone away. You know, you call an officer within 5 minutes, there's one there. People aren't speeding. You don't have drug dealers everywhere. You've got all this stuff that is great. Then here comes the caveat where, you know, well, you know, we're going to do away with your city ordinances. We're not going to enforce those as federal agents or federal police. We're not, yeah, we know your city council proposed this. We're not going to enforce that. We know the state of Texas says, you know, they got a law for this. We're not going to, we're federal. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to push it by our rules. Okay? Example, let's fast forward up to Colorado. Let's say Colorado fell into this. Let's say Denver fell into this, where marijuana is legal. It's still illegal federally, but state says it's legal there. What happens when that federal government now comes in and says, it's no longer legal, we're not doing it? What happens when the federal government says, okay, we're going to put in this law or this thing that where you can't be within excess of 5 miles away from your house with $1,000 in your pocket in cash? We're going to seize it. What happens when all these other things creep in that they sell to you on fear and the majority buy it? And how is every law enacted when it comes in? It's visited upon the least, the poor people, the ones who can't afford anything. They're the ones that they test this out on. And it works its way up. And we sit back and we go, well, that's just those people over there. I don't care. They're homeless. Get a job. We don't care about them. Then it comes to us. And we get outraged on Facebook. And then it starts reaching out to not the rich, but the wealthy. See, there's a difference between wealthy and rich. When you're wealthy, rich people sign your check. So if you're getting a check signed by somebody, you're just wealthy. You're not rich because the rich person is the one that's paying you. But this is going to creep in. It's going to be sold on fear. And you say to yourself, well, you know, I mean, Texas is a big place. We're big in Texas. You know, we're not worried about it. Okay. Well, let's follow me now. Let's say Dallas says we want this. And they implement it and 3 years into it. Let's say Fort Worth looks at it and goes, wow, look at how much Dallas taxes have gone down. Look at how much service they're getting. Look at how their crime has gone down. There's a cop on every corner. The officers love it. They got great retirement, great medical, great benefits, you know, good equipment. Man, this is great. We want it. Okay, so now Dallas and Fort Worth have it. That's the Metroplex. Okay, then you get San Antonio says, wow, we want that. The officers vote on it. Citizens get behind it. Now it's in San Antonio. And then Houston, which God knows needs something, Houston decides, we want it. Bexar County says, we'll do better yet. We want it countywide. So now you got it down there. Then El Paso over on the west says, we want it over here. So you get all these major cities in Texas under federal policing. Now, you want to shut down Texas. How do you do it? If your major big cities are shut down, the interstates and highways leading into those cities are shut down, the little small agencies are going to go by what the federal government says, so you can effectively do it. It looks good on paper. It's going to look good. It will bring some good results and some good things to officers, but overall, how much are your constitutional rights? See, this is a different show today, because this is a show that's not going to be where we can hide in a corner of black or white or rich or poor or Republican or Democrat. Today, we have to look at ourselves as a person in the United States. How much of your freedom are you willing to give up to trust someone else to keep you safe? It's very real. And it's a very good topic that needs to be discussed. Big Gus, Big Tyrone, your mics are open. You guys want to jump in here, feel free.
I can. I'll go first. Hey, look, it's up in Dallas, you know, I guess Robert can speak to more to that, but it's that's definitely a public safety issue. And if the city is growing, like you guys say, that the city is growing, more people are moving in, there should be a bigger tax base. So something is a disconnect somewhere, and they're going to put their finger on it eventually. But something catastrophic's got to happen. Something catastrophic's got to happen, and then they're finally going to put their foot down and decide, you know, to do what's right. But if you're 1,000 officers short, there's a problem with that.
Shut up.
There's an issue with that.
But you know, Gus, when you sell it, every law, if we really look, and when laws are implemented in this country, they're sold to us on fear. And you need to target first of all, you've got to have a face on fear. We all know what that face looks like typically. And then we've got to have a location for this fear. Well, it's going to be in the poor part of town. So if we can get the majority to be afraid of these people over there, black or white or Hispanic or whatever they are in that part of town, if we can sell that fear, we can put some meat on this bone. We can push this thing. We can get these federal contracts. Who makes money? And that's the problem with the federal government. You have to look at who are they subcontracting to. That is dangerous.
Yes.
When you get a police department that becomes a federal state, when you come under a federal state, look at the state of affairs in the federal government today. It's crazy. So ultimately, who runs the federal government? Who's that person up top? Not necessarily this one we currently have, but just beyond him. You then basically have an entire police force at the behest of one man that sits on Pennsylvania Avenue who directs policy. That is dangerous, and it's crazy. And we are getting close to being there. Cities are going to love this plan. They're going to sign off on it because they're sick of the lawsuits, which quite frankly, some of them deserve. They're sick of them, so they're going to sign off on it because now the federal government will take it. Try suing the federal government. See how hard that is. So will the conditions of policing get any better? Maybe, maybe not. Are we willing to take that risk? How important are your constitutional rights to you versus reality of you being safe and the perception of what somebody else tells you relevant to how safe you may or may not be? Go catch an airplane now. See how long that you got to wait just to sit in a line to go through a security thing, to throw everything away that you've got, liquids and this and that, only to go on the other side of the secure gate to buy the same thing you just thrown away to get on a plane with it. Because of 9/11. Look at how people are currently rounded up, herded, profiled. Look at the databases that are drawn up, facial recognition. We're scanning cameras on every corner. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. This is real stuff. And you're losing constitutional rights. Each and every time we sign off on this stuff and leave the federal government to trust, I trust the federal government. I got a flag in my front yard. Well, good for you, because you know what? When they come for you, and they will. And they will. You're not going to have a leg to stand on, because they're going to say, well, we passed this Home Security Act or this act that has taken away your rights. You live in a great community. You live in a great city. You're not having the problems this town 100 miles away is having, but because your state has given up so much and has gone under this federal policing program that we're all just kind of throwing out there, guess what? Now you don't have those rights anymore. There are things you can't do anymore. It's real. It's coming. How do you curb crime? How do you deal with the fact that nobody wants to be a police officer anymore? Their recruiting numbers are down nationwide. The age of the officers that are retiring is getting younger and younger because they're tired of the BS, the interdepartmental politics, shoddy equipment, a retirement system that's up and down, a healthcare system where we're always spraining ankles and breaking fingers just in the part of the job. and you're getting eat up with health costs. So they're going, you know what, this is not working. What do we do? How do we combat it? Where do we come from? Because it's coming. Gus, your mic's still open. I'm going to go to a caller in the 817 area code, 2215. Good morning. You're on. What's happening?
How you doing, Stan? I hope the background noise is not too much. I'm in the car.
No, you're good, man. I'm glad you're here.
This is a topic. This is a wonderful topic, even though it's we're discussing a bad situation. I think what happened in Dallas is you have a lot of people that have been elected to offices that have failed to be truthful with the people until the point of destruction. So some of the things that they're telling us now, they should have been telling us 15, 20 years ago. So now, not only do you have, everybody lives in the city of Dallas, or in Dallas County, is in the same boat, because the police don't have the ability to respond in a rich neighborhood. It's the same thing in a poor neighborhood. Everybody is in this thing together. And also, they have problems in our neighboring city of Fort Worth with the retirement for the first responders and the police officers. You know, it could be on the brink of collapse. Corporations have come into these cities. These cities have cut deals with these corporations, and they were able to rob those city municipalities and not give anything back. They promise jobs, but they cut the tax rates for them. They do everything for them. They put them here, and they get a better – they get treated better than the citizens of the that make up the city. So now because of all of those things are just coming to – it's like when they say the roosters are coming – the roosters – whatever the statement is, the chickens are coming home to roost. All these things are hitting at the same time, and it's causing catastrophic failure. You can't ask me to work for you if your retirement and your pension and all that stuff is in a bad situation, because what do I have to look forward to? These elected officials have been doing this to people for years out here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Then you have to think, and I like the point that you're making, if it's happening in Dallas, they probably have the same practices in other states, in other cities. They're doing the same exact thing, and sooner or later it's going to collapse. It's going to collapse. We have city council people out here in Dallas. We got one that got indicted yesterday for bribery. So, once again, the people that you're electing and putting in office are robbing the people. They're being selfish. They're just worried about themselves, and they're robbing the community. And we passed, I believe, the point of no return. So, talk a lot about community policing. And people need to think about this. We talk about we need to have police officers that are familiar with the community, that can go out and they know the people that live in the community, they can shake hands and talk to them. Well, if we have a federal agency that comes in here, where is their relation with the people in Dallas? You know, do they really care about the people in Dallas, or are they just here to do a job? So we create that same problem again. They probably won't be from that community. They will have a job to do, and they're going to enforce their job. But the policies, people always talk about the laws, but the policies of the city is what's important. Those policies turn into laws. You know, right now in Dallas, they're having a debate about the teenage curfew. But the real reason they want to take the teenage curfew out is because you cannot police it. You don't have the ability to police it. And then at the same time, you have people that's coming in. You can't answer a murder call, so how are you going to report to two teenagers that should be at home before 10 o'clock or whatever the rule is? You don't have time for that. You have a district attorney that's coming in and saying, you know, some of these things that we have on the books, some of these traffic stops and everything like that, we just got to throw that stuff out. We don't have time to mess with that. Some of these misdemeanor crimes, we don't have time to mess with that. And it sounds good to the public, but then you have to think about, it's going to put you in a bigger hole because you're losing that revenue. So we've been talking about not using the people as a cash base or revenue base for these police forces, and you know, being a economic generator. So now you're in a situation where you can't do that, but you actually need that. It never should have been like that in the first place. But now you're in a situation where you can't go out and just, you know, they don't have enough people in the traffic department. They don't have enough people in certain areas. You know, I follow Nick, and I see sometimes where you got the Central District, which is a big area. I don't know the square mileage of it, but I know it's a huge area. It's where most of the hospitals, I believe, are located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's an entertainment district over there. You got major highways going through there, and you got seven people to handle that whole area. It's impossible. So then you got to think about the stress on the officer. You're putting this, you put extra stress on that officer.
Mm-hmm.
So how is his performance going to be? You know, and it's just, I sit down, and I know people will say, well, the citizens should have spoke up. But you sometimes can't speak up against stuff that you don't know. And these politicians, these talking heads out here in Dallas, have not had the transparency that they need. They have not been truthful with the people out here in Dallas. And thus you have us in the situation that we're in right now. And it's we on the brink of probably total anarchy. You know, because you have all this red tape in the politics. Okay, we bring in the feds. How much do we give up to the feds? How much do the city give up to them? How much control do we give up to them? What about the rights of the people, like you're saying?
Right?
You know, absolutely.
You know, Robert,
and they're
going to
be
think,
here. Yes.
You know, I'm going to inject this real quick. And for some folks, I love a diverse audience, Republican, Democrat. I don't care about that. I don't care what anybody's immigration position are. Let's just talk some facts here for a minute. And I'm not getting into all the build-a-wall, semantical BS. I don't, you know, that's that lunacy that comes out of D.C. Anyway, let's look at ICE. Now, when we look at ICE, that is pretty much a federal law enforcement system. ICE moves at the behest of a director, attorney general, directs them, this is where I want you to go. What is ICE doing? They're going after these brown people south of the border. We're focusing all our time and energy. We got to go corral these brown people because they're coming in here cleaning our pools, cutting our grass, you know, building, doing all of our brickwork, yard work, blah, 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 blah. But they're illegal. Damn it, let's get rid of them. And that's fine if that's what they want to do. Now, they're coming over the border. They're sneaking through the bushes. What about all these illegal Russians with blonde hair and blue eyes that are coming in the airports? What about the Cambodians, the Vietnamese, the Koreans, the Chinese, the Japanese? Yes, the Nigerians. These people didn't walk over water to get here. They came through ports of entry. But we're focused on these brown people who, by and large, are coming here working, sneaking to work. And we got folks born and raised in this country of all colors sitting on their ass getting a crazy check. Real talk. So do we do when we now entrust our cities to this crazy philosophy of policing that, trust me, some people think because federal government is written on it that it's good to go, and now you, not only have you given up your civil rights, but what happens when, like a game of Twister, they spin the dial and it comes on your color? Don't go look for the Mexican folks to help you because they're all either in jail or deported. Don't go look for the Russian folks because they're busy enjoying blonde hair, blue eye privilege. They don't have time to worry about you. Real talk. Don't go to the Nigerian brothers because they're going to be like, they're not bothering me. I'm not worried about it. That is your problem. And then here you sit a voter with limited constitutional rights, or your rights have been stripped away from you, whether it's your Second Amendment, your First Amendment, your Fifth Amendment, they're gone. And you don't have a leg to stand on because you're sitting on YouTube worrying about Beyonce and Jay-Z, or you're listening to a whole bunch of nonsense, little cuckoo got a new CD out that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. And your rights are being whittled away. That is one thing I will give the conservative right credit on. You know, some of us may think they overreach or they overgo, but you know what? They watch that Constitution. They watch, and sometimes we're so diametrically opposed to what they say because we have our personal feelings how some of them are. But if you look at it, a lot of them are watchguarding our constitutional rights. We are moving in this country very quickly. And people can say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. Bullshit a conspiracy theory. Do some research. Go leave here and put in federal policing. And you go look at the cities that have it. It's like contract policing. And they're federally certified, and they come in and they provide policing for that community. And what you may be able to do in your community, you can't do in that community. And you don't have a leg to stand on.
Well,
you know, we're in dangerous times.
Let me say something. Let me say something real quick. You know, the question is, you know, I think we all know what the fix is. But for a short-term fix, with enough people of the citizens screaming, the federal government, and I'm no big fan of the federal government coming in and meddling in state affairs or city affairs, but the federal government, like they did up in Washington, D.C., they put the department in receivership until they get up to the numbers where it's state mandated that they should be, because that's the only way without disrupting everything in the city of Dallas, you know, that can get them back on par with policing guidelines and manpower. I think, you know, the way Rob was describing, it's going to have to go in receivership. Now, that doesn't mean that federal officers from the, you know, the Federal Protective Service, which is in D.C., come down and do Dallas police work. That means administratively they're going to have to appoint somebody outside of the chief of police in Dallas to oversee the federal mandate, the federal and state mandates going on in that city, man. I think that would right now, I think that would be the best idea for it, man.
But you know what, Gus?
You're on point, but let me inject this real quick, Robert, and I'll let you go. You know, we typically like to say the police department, the chief. The chief reports to either a commissioner or a city assistant city manager or a city manager who reports to the mayor, who reports to the city council. You've got to light everybody's ass up. It does no good to put the fire out in the trash can and the attic is in flames. That is where we fail in this country. We want to treat the symptom and not the problem. Police chiefs get away with nothing that city councils, and yes, some of them folks we have voted for, black, white, Hispanic, or whatever, that fed us a line of bullshit, that took us to the polls, and we voted for these people, we never shook their hand, we've never seen them in our neighborhood, but they said something that made us feel good, and we voted for them. And these people sign off on these policies and procedures and ordinances that are no good for communities, and then we throw the police chief under the bus. And they nobly fall on the sword. But you never hear the council people speak hell to the fire. You never hear the word city manager, assistant city manager, mayor. We don't hear their asses getting lit up. It ain't the officer on the street. It's not that sergeant. It's not that commander. A lot of times it's these bullshit politicians, because when police chiefs leave a department, if you notice, the same pattern in practice stays in place along with the same politicians. So you got to wonder where the state is coming from. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah, and I mean, to something that you said about the wall. Nobody's looked at this. Walls work on both sides. So are we trying to keep people out, or are they trying to put things in place to keep us in? The next thing is, when you talk about the oversight, right, where was the state of Texas? Where was Austin in this catastrophic failure that happened here in Dallas? They got a rainy day fund down there from the lottery and all this other kind of stuff that if money can fix this, they got the money, right? But the imaging is bad. And I believe that the gap that we have in the Dallas Police Department has nothing to do with the national image of policing. It has to do with mismanagement of funds. It has to do with people stealing, robbing, and cheating. The same thing that we sit up here and saw in the committee in Washington the other day when they talked about the president. It's all the way through our politics. We have historically said, well, politicians lie. Well, I've always been taught if you lie, you cheat, you rob, you steal, and you murder. They all go together. So this is what's happened here in Dallas. And it's happened with a lot of people that have been elected that get on TV and run good campaigns and give you something other than what they really are. They all have been involved in it from the city level in Dallas to the state level, all the way out here in Austin. And then you got the fans that have been overwatching this thing, and they didn't say nothing. They didn't correct it because they want to put the image first instead of the people first. If your institution is failing, you need to say something. You can't tell everybody out here that's a citizen, say something, when you have seen things and you didn't say anything and you didn't do anything except line your pocket. That's all you did. You lie in your pockets. You were selfish. Now you're getting indicted. And the thing about these people that have been breaking the crime, guess what? It's not one group of people. It's not one race. It's very diverse. They all are still,
yes, sir.
They all are being indicted. They all are not caring about the people. They all getting on TV when it's a microphone. They're saying one thing, and behind closed doors, they're doing something different. And the people,
you know,
don't know what's going on. Now we know what's going on because the news media is doing investigations and putting these people on blast, you know. And like I said, people are getting indicted, black, white, Hispanic, you name it. They all in the same boat. They all cheating. They all have the same goal. They all working for the same system that is a failing system. And it's just, this is where we are.
You know what, Robert? I'll tell you, if people gave politicians three questions, there's only three questions you need to ask them. And I don't care, Republican, Democrat, black, white, conservative, liberal, independent, all that. I don't care about that. When they come at me, oh, if I get elected, I'm going to do A, B, C, D, and E. I say, okay. If I vote for you, you're going to do these things. Yeah. So if I don't vote for you, you're still going to do them? If you are going to do these things, tell me what you've already done about A, B, C, D, E. I haven't seen you in my neighborhood. Where have you been by A, B, C, D, and E? Because chances are, if you don't have any experience in dealing with A, B, C, D, and E, you're not going to all of a sudden have an epiphany and come as the purveyor and pontificator of all knowledge when you get into office. See, that's the BS. And you got to look these politicians in the face, whether they look like you or whether they don't, and you got to call them out on their BS. And you vote the issue, not the race or the color, because everybody of color ain't your kind. That goes for white folks, too. We got poor white folks today suffering under white leadership like we got poor black folks suffering under black leadership. But they keep us fighting because you're black and poor and I'm white and poor, and we're fighting over a bunch of nonsensical BS while these people's pockets get fatter and they don't even live in the precincts and jurisdictions that they tell you they got a rent house there. They got some mail going there. And we buy that BS. We're going to drop to another caller real quick, 858 area code 2359. Robert, your mic's still open. Good morning. You're on. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Great morning to you. What should I say?
Yes,
great
sir.
Day to you. Because, you know, ain't nothing great about mourning. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop mourning and start rising up for real. But this is Ali calling out here from San Diego, Stan Mason. I want to reach out to you, great brother. You know, and I heard, was that Robert? Is that good Robert on Facebook? That's my good brother, too. I just want to say this, man. You know, we don't really need no politicians locally, if you really look at it, because locally they can't do anything unless they get it, permission from the state. So it's like why are we voting them in anyway when they got to go ask for permission? It don't make sense, man. If you look at all this stuff for the past 50 years, man. I mean, I've been here that long. I'm sure it's many more that's been here longer. But look at it. What are they doing? They're going to the state and asking for permission in fiscal year to get money down into a local neighborhood. And then they don't send enough. And then they got to sit up there and tell us why we didn't get enough money for the community because they had to go ask, and they've been lying to us the whole time. See, it's all just to get their pension plan. It's all just to get their pension plan once they retire. So we vote them in. They lied to us. We vote them in. But once they come out, it don't matter. It don't matter if they get impeached or if they're there for the whole term or not. Once they get up out of there, they get their pension plan at $150,000, $200,000, and then they ride down the street in a nice car and blow their horn at you when you ain't walking across the green light fast enough. You understand? We need to stop voting locally. Really, if you look at it, what are they doing for us but lying to us and cheating us and then, you know, bureaucrating us the whole time?
Brother, you know what? And you and I talk. You're right. I'll give you an example. We had a sheriff election here a couple years ago. Had a couple of candidates. And I'm not going to get into calling out nobody's names. Neither one of them were black. But, they, you know, they're good guys. They're all right, you know. But I looked at where the benefits were always being held, the communities where they're going to do the meet and greets. parks and all that. And they were the real nice gated communities and the pretty much upper class white communities and maybe the upper middle class mixed community for a little shake and howdy. They never went into that poor area. That poor area that are still your constituents. And it is not very difficult in the black community to understand the problems that are bothering us. You don't have to go through the NAACP. They don't speak for me on every issue that Stan is going through or some of these people on the street. All you got to do is two things. We're very easy. If you want to hear, all you got to do is take a folding chair, walk into any barbershop or beauty parlor on a Saturday morning, pop that chair open, sit down, and listen. You will hear everything that is important or relevant to us, and it's groundbreaking, grassroots way it can be put. You're not going to hear it the way the preacher is going to make it or the community leader is going to make it. You're going to hear it from the people living through the condition. But we've got to go seek the knowledge at its core. Where is it in the problem areas? I don't care if it's a white neighborhood, a black neighborhood, an Asian neighborhood, a Hispanic neighborhood. Get out sometime. Don't ask people to come to a grand church to meet you. You go meet these people at their condition so you can see what they're talking about instead of listening to how they say it. Out there where you're at in San Diego, you've got several pontificators out there who take the condition of, and most people don't even think San Diego has an impoverished district, and it absolutely does. But you don't hear about it. They keep it hidden until you get there and you learn about it. The politicians out there aren't talking about it. But we buy this crap. This is how federal policing will come. And they're going to sell it to us on fear. They're going to tell you it's going to make you safer. It's going to do all this great stuff. And it will do some good things. But it will cost you your constitutional rights. And for those of you that say, well, I don't care about my constitutional rights. I don't see what they're doing for me anyway. Get locked up. Get arrested.
Right.
Get stopped. If you don't know them, you better learn them. Because when you don't have them, it's too late. Talk to one of these illegal aliens or one of these undocumented workers that is trying so hard that we, as natural born citizens, have every day, who honestly, most of us don't even know what they are. These people take a test for citizenship that probably most Americans couldn't even pass if you set it in front of them and they were born here. They typically know more about American history than those of us born here. This country offers a lot of great things, but we take them for granted. The Founding Fathers says we're to keep the government in check. We are the watchdogs. We are our brother's keeper, but we're failing. We're allowing the government to get so big that it now dictates to us what we can and cannot do, what you will and will not do, when you can do, what you can do, and who you can do it with. But we go into our shell, and ain't bother me, they ain't bother me, I don't care. And then it comes for you. Everybody's mics are still open. Like I said, 646-716-4621, press 1. We'll get you in. Gus, your mic's open. Robert, TKD, your mic is open. And Ali, your mic is still open.
Yeah, and Stan, you know, out here in Dallas, you know, I make a conscious effort to not find myself in the city of Dallas. I used to go to over in Dallas, you know, for entertainment, you know, go to a movie, go to a restaurant or whatever, you know, but seeing this stuff on TV, and like you said, it's a fear factor, knowing that it has nothing to do with the people in Dallas. If I find myself in Dallas at a restaurant and something breaks out, there's no help coming, or you don't know when they're coming. Out here in Irving, we got our own police force. We don't have that problem. So I just stick to catering to the places over in Irving. I stay at home. You know, so it's a bigger thing. You know, we sit in a day and time in 2019 where we have a person sitting in D.C. that has declared a fake.
Mm. Smaller cities, brother. That's all I can tell people. If you want to feel safe, smaller cities. Smaller cities that are smaller police departments where that community in these small cities, they get out and talk to each other. They get out, they know each other. They get out and do things together. The police departments are diverse. The officers get out of the cars. They have that harmony. You know, the city that I'm in here, and, you know, I don't work there anymore. I'll say down here in Waco, you know, I've never talked much about it on the show, but when we started here in the 90s, this place was hell. You couldn't give your house away here. Racial division, crack cocaine wars everywhere, drive-by shootings, murders. This place was a cesspool of demoniacal torture and mayhem. Officers hated to come to work. All you did was work shootings and murders, off shift long and overtime. And communities didn't trust the police because they didn't have a chance to see us do anything positive because we're busy scraping bodies off the street. And there came this point where the community and the police, we all sat down. We had some hard cussing meetings and finger pointing and racial wars. And when we got through all those meetings, there came the breakthrough where we started working together. Today, this city, if you don't have at least 225, 250,000, don't even come here looking for a house because you ain't going to get one. And this is coming from a city where in the 90s, if you put a sign on your house that said, for sale, free, take it, wouldn't nobody want it. Today, you can't get real estate downtown. You can't get an apartment in this city, a decent one, two-bedroom for under $1,000 in Waco, Texas. But that's what happens when communities work together and the police work together and we get done finger pointing. Do we have a long way to go? Yes, we've got issues here we need to deal with. But we don't have the police hatred. We don't have the racial division. We don't have all these things. And if it's achievable in Waco, Texas, the same city, I see you 719, I'm going to get you in 1 second, the same city that lynched Jesse Washington in the most notorious lynching in American history, if this city can come this far, to live in with a lot of the harmony and relative peace and tranquility that we have in 2019, any city can do it. You got to vote some people's asses out of office, and yes, the curse jar is going to get full. You got to light some people's asses up. You got to start pushing facts and not fiction, not your perception, not what somebody told you, not what you've seen on YouTube. That means you got to get your ass up out of your house and get out there to the problem. You got to stop relying on what your neighbors told you. You got to stop relying on what the preacher told you while everybody's praying, God, to the same places they're scared to take him to. You got to get up and get out there. You got to put some skin in the game. 719 area code 3613. Good morning. You're on. How are you?
Congratulations to you, my brother. It's Jerry Kazmarek from New Orleans.
What's up, Jerry? Appreciate you, brother.
Same here, man. I appreciate you and all of the callers. Hey, I had to call in and not only congratulate you, but also bring up that I'll give you a prime example, man. I think New Orleans is really becoming a microcosm of what's happening all throughout the country, because this is what a lot of people need to realize, is that Homeland Security has actually got a command desk now, and there's cameras all over New Orleans. And I tell people all the time in regards to your constitutional rights, they think, oh, man, I love the cameras, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, you do, huh? Is the camera going to stop an armed robbery? Does the camera jump off the pole and come talk to you? And a lot of people are getting a false sense of security. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like them. I don't like them. And, you know, it's also become a way, as always, for a lot of these contractors to come in and get big contracts from the city.
There you go.
And that's
there you go.
And that's another point, is that everything, like you brought up also, is that there's corruption now on all levels, municipal, state, national, and something's got to be done, man. I mean, if anything, when somebody like, for example, here in Louisiana, this guy, Fate Vincent Winslow, is doing life in prison for a $20 bag of weed, and you got all of the white-collar criminals throughout the country just rape-robbing and pillaging, something ain't right, man. I mean, as we know, it's a scam, you know? And, you know, I mean, if anything, like you were saying, this country, I'm taking a class in terrorism. And, brother, this, you know what it is? This country is built on fear, hatred, anger, scapegoating,
yes, sir.
Anything.
Yes, sir.
anything that they can do to keep people in fear, and they start listening to all of this BS from these politicians on all levels. And I'm just sitting back and I'm thinking to myself, and you know what, Stan, is a great quote. And this really should have been the title of a book. But a lot of people need to realize also is that politics and religion cross-reference. It's the law in the books that become law in, you know, law in action. But my point is this, is that the quote by French philosopher Voltaire said it best. He says, when it comes to money, everyone is of the same religion. And you know what it is? And it goes for urban terrorism, I mean, all throughout your communities. I mean, it's ridiculous, man. And something's got to be done because, I mean, if anything, our constitutional rights are slowly being eroded. And a lot of these cities have been eroded from within. They're hollowed out. And, hey, I'll quote Tupac Shakur, and he's right, man. They got money for wars but can't feed the poor. And that's the truth,
amen,
brother. You know?
Amen. You know what, Derek?
So,
in New Orleans, they sold it, and this was really sneaky. They did this also in Chicago. But they have a propensity. They take the solution or the reaction, and they market it and sell it to the community as the solution. The reaction to crime?
Yep.
Let's put up cameras. But we'll tell the community this is the solution. Those cameras are recording everything. You know, we've got cameras that are on patrol cars, and the tow, you know, private tow companies have them that do nothing but ride down the street and record your license plate, the location, date, and time of wherever your car was. Drive down and collect your data. And they sell that data to databases. Where if they're looking for you and they know what kind of car you drive, they can put your license plate in or your name in, and wherever, every place your car has been seen throughout the United States, it'll get the date and time it was seen there and a picture. And
yes, it's the same thing going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's the same thing that's going on here.
But we're
say it again, sir.
Does it have good usage? Yes, it does. It is a good tool for us. It did here. It did knock down our car thefts a lot. But the problem is when you give these authority type of unions, when you give them that type of power, it's going to be misused because ultimately every police department is run by one person. When that one person wants something, they can say, make this happen. And we see it every day in this country. That is a lot of information, a lot of personal information that can be used against anybody. But we allowed
that
because they said we're going to have this program that will do this, and it's going to be great for the city. So we sign off on it, but your car, they know everywhere your car has been.
Oh, and you know what it is, too? Here's another prime example I'll give you. You know, you went ahead and you brought it up early in the show about you know, the wall. I'll give you a prime example. Use New Orleans as an analogy, unfortunately. Do you know back in 1965, Hurricane Betsy came through, okay? For 40 years' time, and we heard this for years, oh, we don't have the money. We don't have the money to reinforce the levees. For 40 years' time, they didn't do a damn thing. And what happened in 2005? The wall collapsed. And here's the other thing. Yeah, well, here's the other thing, too, is that I didn't hear, you know, a lot of these contractors and politicians and everything else bitching about. And this is what I tell everybody. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for a lot of the people, let's say, who came over from Mexico and other parts of the country, New Orleans would have never been rebuilt. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, it's the same hypocrites who are screaming about, oh, you know, put up the wall. But, oh, but that was okay, well, let's say, when you were hiring them and not following, you know, licensing laws and everything else and bringing them in and tearing out sheetrock and doing demo work and all of that. Man, let me tell you something. As we know, this country is built on hypocrisy in the worst way. So I'm like you. Whenever I hear all that BS about scapegoating and everything, I just shake my head, brother. I really do. It's sad, man. It really is.
Well,
it's getting worse by the day. I hate to say that.
Yeah, because people don't
want
to have
right.
dialogue. Do you remember when the Mexican military went into New Orleans to help with the disaster? never charge the U.S. a dollar, a dime. Nobody can have a problem with all those Mexicans coming over.
No, indeed.
And shelter. Nobody, where's all the build the wall people? Nobody wanted to build the wall then. I'll tell you, this happened in Texas. And it was about maybe 10 years ago. We had a cold front come through here that overloaded the power grid. Our power grid collapsed in Central Texas. I was working. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And every single light in Waco went out. We had no power citywide. And we started hearing from other neighboring cities. Every burglar alarm went off. Every street light went out. It was pitch black because the power grid failed. They had scheduled rolling blackouts to take place for the next week where you might have power for 2 or 3 hours, and then you might not have it for another 12. Now, bear in mind, this was when we were having daytime highs in the 20s, a cold spell here in Texas. So we're not prepared for that. Never mind the hospitals and all that. But you know what saved us? Mexico. Mexico gave us auxiliary power that they had stored up or sold it or donated it.
Yes, sir.
But that was the only reason. I remember going back to my apartment. Dude, I was sitting in my living room in my apartment with a sweater, 2 blankets, curled up.
And Mexico, well, but I mean, saying like... Well, I was saying this is now. That's the mentality, you know, unfortunately. That's really what it is. It's pathetic, man. It really is, you know. But like he was saying, they don't want to hear that. Oh, well, we don't want to talk about that. Next subject. You know, that's the way it's done in this country, man.
Yep.
You know those little pocket constitutions? I think everybody ought to get one. Or you can go online and get it. There's free access. You ought to have it and read it. People need to read this stuff, and if you read it, you'll understand why some of these people that we'll look at will say they're a far-right nut. Read what they're talking about. Forget what they look like. Maybe even forget the Confederate flag they got in the background, but read what they're saying for yourself. And then ask yourself how that particular amendment or constitutional law, how it impacts you. And then look at what this guy over here may be saying. You may not like his lifestyle or his beliefs, but when he's fighting to keep that same right, he may not care about you, but that right impacts you.
Yeah.
We have got to become more knowledgeable about the Constitution and what your rights are and are not. There are people doing prison sentences today, not because they had a sorry lawyer, but because they didn't know their constitutional rights. And they're running their mouth.
Yep.
When they should have been quiet.
Well, but you know what it is too, Stan? I mean, just my opinion. I mean, as I know, I've already brought it up a few times. But you know what? I mean, I was actually talking to somebody about this today. And I said, you know what? Education is key, which manifests into so many other things when people become more knowledgeable. But, you know, it's like I tell a lot of people, by living in Colorado and then coming back here, and I'll give you a prime example. I just recently watched a movie, The Green Book. And I was thinking about it, and since I've moved back, like I tell a lot of people, man, the southern states are still run by segregationists, and they want to keep it 80 to 100 years behind time because people are uneducated, they don't know their rights, and it's truly a sad situation. And the more you keep more people ignorant and dumber they are, like you were saying, it just becomes more and more of a perpetual cycle. And I mean, it's a crying shame, man, but it's the truth. And that's the thing that I've learned by living in Colorado for a decade and then coming back to my birth state. And, man, everything is just upside down in so many ways, as we know.
Well, you know? I mean, keep the masses dumbed down, brother. If you can keep people, if you can make them believe that they're happy in misery, you don't have to do anything but talk to them. If you can sell them their misery and they feel if they paid for it, they're getting a deal. Just because they paid for it. Just because they voted for it. A lot of us voted for the conditions we're going through now by the people we elected because we didn't do our homework. Somebody who we like said something nice about them, so we go, they're voting for them. Yeah, they must be a good person. Some people are knowledgeable and vote their interests. I'm not going to fault them for that. And some people go along to get along. and you will get the kind of law enforcement and laws and political service that you voted for. I guarantee you, you'll get it. We're seeing that now.
Yeah, absolutely correct, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's amazing, though, Stan, because all of us in the same boat, man. I mean, look, show me one person in this world ever that can buy more life on their life.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't not one person that can buy more life, man. So you got to ask yourself, what is it all for, man? Because we all going to die in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
What they got? They don't have that in the Constitution to buy more life. How much is a more 10 years on your life? Is that about 10,000? You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have that.
Well, Ali, I mean, look at how many hearts Dick Cheney's had. I think he's on his second or third. And this is a man who's probably corrupted a lot of good hearts that have been donated to him. Most people waiting for organ transplants. Dick Cheney's like 150, looking like a troll in search of a bridge for a fairy tale, and caused more misery, ruining good hearts. You know, let me drop down 314 area code 4644. Good morning. You're on. How are you feeling?
What's going on, Stan?
Oh, yeah, man.
You
want to
see
on.
What?
Good to hear from you.
You want to see what future life look like? Look at Mitt Romney's family when they stood up there on the stage. He had 7 sons. They were dressed in khaki pants, plain shirt, and penny loafers. 7 sons. Look at Barack Obama's family when he's standing on stage. He has 2 daughters, and one is dating a white man. So not only is his policies going to be erased, but he's not going to carry no family ideologies into the future. That's what it looks like. And, you know, here's another point. You know, I meant, you're absolutely right. People vote for things that they are dissatisfied with today because it's not working. If it hasn't been working for you in the past, why you continue to vote for it today?
Mm-hmm.
And another
Amen.
Point, why are your votes like hope and faith? Your vote should be demand and objectivity.
Thank you.
The person that you're voting for should already know why they are there and who sent them there. And that's not happening. So, that's to each his own. I tell people and profess, I voted for Donald Trump and supported Donald Trump. Why? It's not that I did. People should ask, why did you? Because of his policies. It's an interest. People have interests and they're going to vote. If you start off, I mean, look at the stories, Stan. Every story you hear about somebody starting off in a family and home where they didn't have no heat, no water, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And look at them now. Well, they have went from one economic circumstance to another economic circumstance. When they was in their first economic circumstance, certain politics applied to that circumstance. But now
right.
they have moved beyond that, and the politics that's needed to apply to the circumstance where they are today is not the same ones when they began all that.
Thank you.
So they change. Think about it. All right. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. And you tore it up on the judges show yesterday, too. I was glad to hear you on there, man. It's good to hear you again. But I tell you, we're in a conundrum. And this federal policing, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a conspiracy theory. It's real. It's happening now. And it's just like you take the prospect of federal policing in your town and incorporate that now with for-profit prison. And you have a perpetual state of urban slavery, black, white, or other. It doesn't matter. This slavery that's coming around through this system, there ain't no color on it. And there ain't going to be any more Harriet Tubmans coming to deliver you, because when money talks, people listen. And if we can promote fear and push fear and make some folks scared of other folks in order to get by what we want to get by so we can make money on the top end and make you feel good about us making money so you keep voting us in, that's what they're going to do. TKD, what's going on, brother? Jump in here.
Stan.
Go ahead. Let the person, somebody want to speak. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just Stan, I want to
I want to ask this question because I think I like what the caller just said, but also there's a flip side to that. And I think this is what's happening here in this country that we live in. It's just because our circumstances change doesn't mean that the other circumstance still doesn't exist. So when we put policies in that just gravitate to our circumstance, we suppress the people that's in the circumstance that we used to be in. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. We have to, like somebody said, we're all in the same boat. So just because we got off of a canoe and now we're in a yacht, it doesn't mean that other people are still not in a canoe. So we need to be conscious of them as well. We need to put in policies that's good for all circumstances, not just for one certain circumstance. So the rich circumstance or the wealthy circumstance right now is the one that's taking precedent in this country, and that's why we have what's going on right here in Dallas. That's why we have what's going to go on in other cities, because the people at the top are only worried about the people at the top, and now the people at the bottom are getting overlooked and ignored.
Right.
The policy has to be for everybody.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because I wanted to go there too. You know, oftentimes we hear, I'm talking about black folks, oftentimes we hear that they moved on, but they won't come back. They're not supposed to come back. You're supposed to prepare your kids to go where they are and beyond. They're not coming back because they don't have time to come back in many cases. And sometimes when they do come back and try to share with those and tell them what they have seen, witnessed, and experienced at the mountaintop and on the other side of the mountaintop, you got elements within that society, that community, that won't let them go. Why? Because they need them. They need them in the schools because if there ain't no kids in the school, guess what? Teachers, administrators, and principals don't get paid. They need them to be in the justice system because guess what? We know we need them to be in the street doing bad. If you're not, then you won't have no police force. Mm-hmm. And especially when you have others that come outside of your community to work in these war zones so they can get experience. So, no, you mm-hmm. prepare yours to go to where those that left is and where they are, we teach them how to go beyond.
Well, I'm liking that one. That good, Robert. I mean, brother, that's whoo. I got to agree with that. I think sometimes we those who have left and moved on, they're going to vote their position and they're going to vote for what's important in their life. And where they are, when I vote on things that are going to benefit me where I'm at, not necessarily where I was 10 years ago. Well, I am conscious of what people are going through, and I look at that legislation, but I didn't go back and say, well, what about these people who are in that which I left? How many of them are voting? How many of them are doing voter rights registration? So, I mean, yeah, you're right, but we also, like the brother said, you really can't expect people who have moved on to always come back. Is it what we like to say? Yeah. Is it honorable? Yeah. But it's just, you know, some people just say, I come through that and I'm not going back there. And
well,
you know what? Bring people to where you are.
Can I say something? Can I say something about
sure.
that? I understand, you know, each generation should do better than the next. I understand that theory from the brother that mm-hmm. just spoke, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's not you don't come back. You don't forget where you were. That's the issue.
Right.
You don't forget where you
right.
came from. So you won't go back. So that's the issue.
Right. And I think you achieve a modicum of success. I think that you can guide people to where you are by reaching out to them, but it's not your mission to personally put them on your back and carry them. Because anything that is given, people will not appreciate that which is given as quick as they will that which they've earned.
Exactly.
Sometimes we'll say, well, LeBron James should do this or do more. LeBron James is doing. Does he have to put everybody to college? Does he have to do? No. Because sometimes people who are doing extra are doing more than those of us who are going through our own personal purgatories than are doing for ourselves. It's good to help people, but you can't carry nobody else's cross. You can help them, give them a respite. But you can't carry their cross. Go ahead, Todd.
Let me say this, brother. Let me say this, brother Stan, real quick for everybody.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I know one place where we all come back to, you know, and that's the Stan Mason Show, where we can get good dialogue like this, man. And we got good brothers. We got good brothers with good insight. Bianchi, the brother from New Orleans, Robert, yourself, anybody else on the phone. This Ali, man. Listen, we come back here every Saturday, man. And I love you for it, man. Because without this, we ain't got nothing. So
brother,
we got something, right? No, I know we got something. It's accumulative of all of us, and we come back to something that entices us, that inspires us, because every Saturday we here. And I want to thank everybody for that. If nothing else, thank you for being in support of what we need to do together and come together. Because let me tell you something, there's only a chosen few, man, and we might be the only ones right here on this phone, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That's real talk, Ali. Come on, Tom. Come on in here. The ace in the bullpen.
Yes, sir. I would like to just start off by saying you're absolutely right. This thing called fear, which when you talk about what the show was all started on, bringing in the Fed to take over. And, you know, fear is constantly being sold. And one of the acronyms I've learned about fear is that fear stands for finding evidence appearing real. Because what does fear do? In most cases, it paralyzes people or makes you run away. Most people ain't running to something they're fearful of. They're going to run or they're going to be paralyzed. You know, we've been having a problem for many, many years, from the time they was invading ancient Kemet of Egypt by reading the writing on the walls. They call it the hieroglyphs, right? So many people have got caught up in trusting in this system that we all know was based, and the other Stan said it. We know what the whole thing was founded on. So without checks and balances, if we just going to sit back and observe and listen what's going on without doing what Brother Malcolm told us many, many moons ago, which was history above all subjects is qualified to reward our research. If you research, if you study, if you find the actual facts, then you will trust the facts. You won't trust people. And I'm not saying don't trust people. I'm saying if they're giving you a bunch of myths, fairy tales, lies, folklore, you know, like you said, they sound good, but okay. And so they have engineered most of the masses to just listen and hear. Oh, he sounds good. He sings good. Instead of, wait a minute, listen? We love to listen and hear? How about getting off our butts, our behinds, and getting gear? Because, see, we'll never come to the right solution or ever have the right answers if we don't ask the right question. A lot of people are led by blind trust. We want to be accepted, and we still have this problem with this thing called rejection. We have to project. We have to have a visionary. In other words, we got to become visionaries. We have to visualize the world that we want for ourselves, our community, our families. We cannot keep running on blind faith. We need actual facts. We have to hold people accountable, and that's starting with ourselves, with not what comes out of our mouth, more so than which is more important, what comes with our actions and deeds. What are we actually doing? Because our actions should talk. They say money talks and bullshit walks. You know what? But we see money talks a lot of bullshit, too. And we got one that's doing it right now. All right? Too many people try to assimilate themselves in this system, which lead to them procrastinating, infiltrating the system. And when I mean infiltrating it, I don't mean by taking over the government. I'm talking about we know how things were set up, and like anything that was real strong, and I use the metaphor of a cup of coffee, if it's too strong, and I learned this from Brother Malcolm, we add a little, and I ain't adding sugar to be soft. Let me make that. I'm talking about sweetening it up a little bit. I'm not asking cream. So because I'm saying there's anything wrong with black. I'm saying to lighten up the load. We have to weaken some of the foundation, let's say, principles and practices, and one of them was definitely racism. So we got to get involved or things will continue to dissolve. We have to study the five P's, the five principles. You've heard it many times. You will continue to hear it because that's what the five-pointed star stands for. These institutions they put in place that we trust so much, starting with poly tricks, a pile of tricks, which divides people. Let's make that clear. Polytheism, which is supposed to be the freedom of many religions or freedom of religion, which we know that ain't true. Philosophy, which is not based on fact. It's a philosophy. Theology, and we've seen how we've been psyched out in many ways. And, of course, that dreadful penal system, as you said, Brother Stan. See what happens when you get locked up. See, we see all the smoke. We see the little brush fires, but we don't want to bring no water. See, we don't want to infiltrate because if we water it, then what happens? Oh, no, I don't want to get wet. So we got all these umbrellas in life walking around instead of we need to get wet. A lot of people don't really like to read. We like to watch. There's a difference between reading. We got to become active participants in progressive action. I learned this from a billionaire. A lot of things happen because why? We're reactionary. We wait for things to happen. We're waiting for the next breaking news. We're waiting instead of break the news ourselves. And it shouldn't always be something bad. So if we're in a reactionary state, which means it already happened. We're not making things happen, which is the next point. We wait for things to happen, which means we're really in neutral, y'all. We make things happen, which is proactive, meaning we're in drive, y'all. Or we wonder what the hell happened. And you know what that means? The damn transmission done burnt out now. And you're wondering what the hell happened. Now I can't go nowhere. So we stand there, and then from there we're led by this thing called faith, where the Lord's going to make it all well, and we're waiting on the Lord, and God's going to make a way, and, you know, this, that, and other. So we're paralyzed right now. We're in neutral with faith driven by fear. And then also, as the flip side of that, we have fear that's driven by faith. And a lot of people don't want to admit we have just been bamboozled in many ways. We have been tricked. We've been fooled. We've been brainwashed or brain dirty by blind trust. And we don't want to admit it because that's that pride. It's a silly sense of pride. We don't admit that we've been wrong. So we try to override it with just believing it's going to get better. It ain't going to get better till we become better. And we got to become better at trusting facts. What happened in Dallas, it was told years ago it was going to happen. But again, we don't want to hear the facts. We want to go along with the narrative created by those who created the mess and who were creating the mess. Like you said, the people in high places. Oh, did I hit a note? In high places. We battle against the principalities in high places. So here we go. So regardless of how much we've seen, how much we've witnessed, how much we experienced, we're going to have still a lot of people who's going to have their heads stuck in the sand. And other people's feet literally are in quicksand. As the brother said, we have to have insight. If we don't have insight of what's going on, eventually we're going to be out of sight. And I mean that not metaphorically. If we don't get some insight, we're going to be out of sight. We're going to be no longer here. We're going to be gone. And then they're going to say, what did you do when you was here? Our legacy. Well, we was watching out of the 300 cable channels and networks, and we was watching news, and we was watching, and we was playing video games, and, you know, and we was on our phones, and, you know, that's why I got this problem with my neck right now, because I was always having my head down instead of stand up. Get your heads up, people. Stand up. Rise up. You can't rise up with your head all the way down. And you can't sit around and pray about everything going to happen. You got to make things happen. And that takes courage. So they have created a society that has a lot of people who are not courageous. And the first line of defense is at least speak up. And that's why we have shows like this. So people can speak up without the fear. Without fear. And I mean, this goes anywhere. If it ain't right, wherever you at, speak up and speak against what ain't right and make it right. Because if we just sit back as we was told, wake up, everybody. Remember that song back in the 70s? The world won't get any better if we just let it be. Imbalances. But we first got to check ourselves and balance ourselves and stop trusting folks, stop trusting people with just a vote, and start trusting facts that we invoke. I'll say that again. Stop trusting people with just a vote and trust the facts that we must continue to invoke. Thank you.
I appreciate you, brother. Okay, we're going to do the barbershop session now. This is where everybody's going to get a minute. We're going to go down the line of all the callers. You got 1 minute. Talk about anything you want to talk about. It's not limited to the topic today. You know, this is where we get ideas for shows we may want to do down the line, and it gives you a chance to maybe hit on something that's important that we didn't cover here and to make sure that your voice is being heard. So we're going to start with 858 code 2359, 1 minute. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to say this. You know, the brother was correct. I say it all the time. Things sound good, but if it don't feel good, then you need to decipher that. And everybody knows when stuff feel good versus when it sound good. Stop fooling yourself on the sound. You know you don't feel that. Another thing I want to say is stop praying to that the government God. Understand that you're being manipulated and ruled over. Understand that the Most High don't need no book to reach who he created. He put that message in you. Don't get twisted with these books and all that stuff, because your body didn't need no book at all. Ain't a man in the world that creates semen, some milky little stuff in your hand that's going to make 5-10 fingers, 10 toes, and eyelashes on your eyes. Who can come up with an idea that make eyelashes on your eyes? Not one person on this earth can do that, man. So also, when it rains, I love it when it rains, because there's so many dirty people out here that need to be rinsed off. And that's why it's been raining nonstop down here in California, because they got a lot of dirty folks that need to be rinsed off. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother. Drop it down. 719 area code 3613. 1 minute. Anything you want.
Well, I want to thank all of the callers, and I want to thank you again, Stan, for this platform. And you know what? I mean, just my opinion. I think we've gotten to the point, and I think a lot of people have been awoken, but this sums it up right here. My opinion, it's a one political party with two factions. And this tells you right here, the House and Senate combined net worth, $14 billion. Who do you think they're working for? And the bottom line is that, yeah, $14 billion, that's what they're worth, you know? And they're working for us. Give me a break. So, I mean, if anything, like you were saying, I mean, it just seems a lot of things that need to be changed, man. They really, really do. And, you know, people need to start going to jail. I mean, seriously, they really need to start going to jail, these politicians who have really raped, you know, so many people, especially the kids. And that's another thing, too, that's really scary. And I really believe, like I said, after coming back to Louisiana, I think a lot of this is all by design. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, reading Intro to Correction in the South. And it's just got a lot of work to do, man. So I appreciate everybody. Thank you so much.
All right, Jerry. I'm going to call you a little later, man, because we got to set up a time, man. I got to get down there to the quarter, man. I got the time now.
You got it, brother.
We'll do a show from down there, man. We'll do a show from down there.
That'll work. Give me a call later, dude.
All right, brother. We'll talk about it. Be good. We'll holler at you. 3144.
All right, Jerry. You know, I moved to Louisiana because my grandson's attending your flagship school, and I like it down here. But you know, last year, you had over 866 applicants across the country that was endorsed by 299 colleges and universities. that applied for the Rhodes Scholarship. Of that, 32 students was chosen, and of that 32, 33% of them was African American. That's the most that has ever. So I like to talk about the good things that's going on, because when you take an organization like the National Society of Black Engineers, which has a chapter there at LSU, by the way, they're 50 most preferred employers. This is a black organization. At the top of the list, you got Google, Apple, and Boeing, a defense contractor. But also on their list, they got Goldman Sachs, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and the FBI. They are hiring young African-American students with STEM degrees. And Northrop Grumman, another defense contractor, 2 years in a row hired 400 young black STEM graduates right off the national convention floor for a total of 800 in 2017, 400 in 2018, not including the other corporations that was there. So what I'm saying is that there are young people out there that's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to have their own mindset, because they had to have their own mindset in order to get to the position where they can qualify for what people, companies, corporations are seeking. They are sought mm-hmm. after. And that's a fact. So that's what we need to work for. And you know, this we had to rebuild families in order for these young people to have a base, a foundation where they can pursue and have the ability to seek out the opportunities that is beckoning for them. At the end, with
that. Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, dude. That's the only way to end. That's the family, and you know, we can't blame anybody with that one. You took it right to the core, and we can all leave
Amen.
This show today. And that family part that right there, that man, and you know, I always appreciate hearing from you and on different shows. I mean, when you talk, I just sit back and I listen, because I always learn from listening to you. And I appreciate the fact that you even come here and share here. So, I've always appreciated you, and thanks for being here. All right, down at 817, Big Bobby, 2 minutes, Bob. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Stan and everybody? Great conversation. I hope everybody around the country is looking at what's happening here in Dallas. What's happening here in Dallas is going to take a collective of people. It's going to take everybody working together with one thing in common, that we all want to be safe. And we all share the common thread of safety. So it's going to take all of us to be able to come together and make this thing happen and get out of this hole that we're in. I have no doubt that we'll be able to rebound here in Dallas. But the thing is, it might be the people that we have disenfranchised that come to our aid and turn this thing around. So we need to be careful how we treat people. We need to be careful of how we treat people. It may be the very people that we're trying to keep out of this country that is going to be the people that have been disenfranchised that will help us recover. Because if the only thing that's keeping us from filling these positions is someone's citizenship status, we need to revisit that, because they're here, they're right-thinking people, they're able-bodied people, and they may be able to fill those 1,000 jobs if we don't have Americans here to fill those jobs. So we need to look at that closely, and we need to be more compassionate for just human beings. And I'll end with that.
Amen. All right, I appreciate you, Big Bob, and I'll holler at you in a little bit. 804 Big Gus, what's up, brother?
Good, man. What a great show today, man. Great show. And I just want to say thank you for your service in Waco. Like I said on my post, man, I never ran into you while you were in uniform, but from all the accolades that you got and the good that you did in your community, man, don't ever stop serving your community, man, because that is your calling. And whatever way you do it, serve your community. And I appreciate that from the great 804. But look, man, on the other hand, I remember that the brother that was talking, and we're talking about the Constitution and all that stuff. Well, my only issue, and it's probably to a fault of mine, the signers of the Constitution
and the Declaration of Independence, they were slave owners. Mm-hmm. Most of them were slave owners. So that's why, you know, I don't say put too much heart into the Constitution, but I'm knowing when it was signed, where it came from. And we were only mm-hmm. 3/5 of a man, so that thing too. But I see it coming. I say this, Dallas is going to be under federal receivership. I can tell you that now.
Yes,
it happened in Washington, D.C. It happened in Washington, D.C. And you know what? It actually cleared it up. Now, some toes were stepped on, some rights were stepped on a little bit, but it cleaned it up. You know, and it cleaned it up to the point where I remember when I lived in Southeast Washington, Senator Shelby from Alabama, Senator Shelby, one of his aides got killed in Southeast. They made this big to-do. They had the D.C. National Guard go out on the corner and had all the floodlights and all that stuff, right? But they forgot to tell you that it wasn't a random killing. He was out there buying dope, and he got killed. See, and they left that, they conveniently left that part out. So it wasn't like a random killing. That's when D.C. was murder capital for about 9 years straight. But anyway, man, have a great afternoon, man, and I always, to the panel, I appreciate the show, and can't wait for the next topic to come up, man. Have a great afternoon.
All right, Big Gus, I always appreciate you being here, man, and always adding to it, man, and you're my East Coast connection up there, man. And please, if you let your fellow Virginians know, it's been a hell of a Black History Month. You know, just tell them no more blackface and sexually assaulting women. Give us a break from it for a little bit, because I don't know who y'all going to vote in to do anything up there. No, I had to take that shot, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Well, you know,
and love you,
well, you
man,
know, the funny,
be careful.
All right. The funny thing is, though, that same picture that's on the in his book, there's another picture on the internet with him with them same clothes on without the blackface. But he said that's not him, but that's another story.
Well, we all know, you know. It's just like I didn't need Cohen to tell me what I already knew about Trump. But, you know, we don't need the endorsement. But y'all get it together up there in Virginia, man. I don't want to come through there and have to run into no nonsense.
Well, you're welcome anytime, brother, anybody.
All right, brother. We'll holler at you. Going down. TKD, 2 minutes, all brother. Right. Take us on out of here, man.
Well, I just want to say we just got to keep not hope alive. We got to keep the facts alive. We got to keep pushing on. And like the brother said, it all starts in the home, that base, that family,
mm-hmm.
before it even spreads out any further. So how does it start? It starts, again, with each in you and every one of us individually. And that's more attainable by if these children, our future generations, can see what we are doing, not what we are saying. It's more important because children watch what you do more than listen to what you say. So our actions are going to do more talking than our mouths ever will. I think we've got to be careful of that because we cannot just sit back and be, as I put on my Facebook page earlier today, cheerleaders and spectators sitting around clapping hands and all that kind of good stuff. You say all the time, Brother Stan, you got to put some skin in the game. You know, you got to become an active in this thing called life about bringing about the changes that we know we need, not what we want, not just because we want it, mm-hmm. because it's necessary for a more peaceful, productive, and positive planet. That's why, because we did not come from that, as the brother said, that semen, to not swim.
Hmm.
We didn't come here to drown. That seaman came here. Anybody's been in the Navy, you know what I'm talking about. We got the boat. We got the ship. We got the cargo. Okay, so where we're going. That's why we got to continue to plan, be proactive, and stop procrastinating. Stop talking about what we need to do and what we should do and what we could do. No, let's be part of the hall of what I always will call the hall of fame. And I ain't talking about because you got a statue or because you got a certificate. I'm talking about you don't want to end up on that other side, which is the hall of shame. And the hall of shame is those who will end their lives talking about the war stories of what I coulda, shoulda, woulda did, or woulda. You don't want to be part of the coulda, woulda, shoulda club. be part of the club that made things happen, that pushed for positive, proactive, productive change. And that's best served by how you live your life, not how well you run your mouth. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Ty. With that, I just want to say once again, thank you to Waco, all the people here, the citizens here, you know, of course, Harrisburg and the whole East Coast. I mean, everybody, the Facebook Live crew that's been on, you guys can follow me at StanMason.com, also on Facebook and Twitter, under Officer Stan Mason, which I'm going to have to go back now and put an R-E-T in there for retired. But summing everything up, I'm just going to get out of here and tell you guys, love everybody, be safe tonight, and we're going to leave out with some profound words to kind of sum up everything.
Oh, I see it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run amok.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Get down.